All right, so we want to do just a real quick lesson, and Miss Amy is going to hand out one of these. Do you guys know what these are? M&M's. All the adults are like, we want to come down too. Is there anyone that's not allergic? These are just plain M&M's. Is there anybody that's allergic to chocolate or M&M's? Parents, are we okay? I purposely didn't get peanut. You're not allergic? Praise the Lord. That would be a horrible life if you were allergic to M&M's. Very quickly, we're just going to look at these M&M's. Tell me something. What do you guys know about M&M's? What's on an M&M? Is there anything printed on the M&M? A letter! Thank you, Captain America, for helping me with that. I'm going to give you mine. Did you get one? There we go. Okay. So they have a letter. The letter means that they are sealed. Each M&M gets sealed with an M to represent that that's part of the M&Ms. Did you know that the Bible tells us, does everybody got an M&M? Yeah. Burp. You don't have M&Ms over there? Sorry, you're too old. I may be a little. You may be. Each M&M has an M on it. It marks it. It seals it for us. You are three? You are old enough. You are three. And you have some awesome car shoes. I love that. Lightning McQueen. But the Bible tells us that we are sealed in the Holy Spirit, just like each M&M is sealed and marked. Did you know that they're different, though? Is every M&M, everybody hold up your M&Ms. Are each one of them the same? No. What's different about them? Are they different colors? They're different colors, right? Sometimes they even come in different shapes. Yours is a little oval. Yeah, it's not always totally round. Sometimes they're a little squished. It's a circle. Yeah. Did you know you guys got matchings? Awesome. You're blue? Team blue. All right. So, even every person looks different, don't we? Are we all the same? Is every person the same? Do we all look the same? We're all different, aren't we? Because God made each one of us unique. It tells us in Psalms, it says that he made each one of us unique and wonderfully made. And the last thing, okay, I want everybody, look, don't eat it all the way. Can you just take a bite of it? Oh, this is the best sermon ever. Mm. What's inside of it? Is there chocolate in yours? Is there chocolate in yours? Chocolate? Chocolate? It's chocolate in each one of them, isn't it? Well, when we accept Jesus into our heart and we accept him in our life, he comes into living with us. So everybody in this room, even though we're each look different and we're all unique, if we have accepted Jesus in our heart, we're just like this M&M. We have something super special and sweet inside of us. Sometimes we have a little hard shell on the outside. It's kind of hard to tell. But we won't mention Wayne's name. But every one of us has this sweet inside of us that's Jesus. Now we can eat the M&M. You guys can have an M&M to go. Thank you guys so much for coming up here. You got yellow? All right. Does any adults want some M&Ms? Just pass the bag. It's like fish and loaves. Let's just give them all. And Christ looked upon them and had compassion and gave them chocolate. All right, well, while these guys are going back, I want to pray real quick. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you make each and every one of us unique, that you make each and every one of us special. And God, I just thank you so much that when we invite you into our lives, that you do come into it and you make each one of us sweet on the inside. And God, I just pray that you would just today open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits as we start to unpack some truths about yourself, about your word, and about our life in you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, today, I wanted to talk about some battles that we battle in life. How do we struggle in life? Sometimes we face things in life that are a challenge. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about walking with Jesus, and we talked about how that he reveals his truth to us and that we invite it in, and once it's in, we want to share it. But then, as Pam so eloquently put it earlier, is that, you know, the Christian life is not always just an easy one. But with Jesus, we can accomplish it. And we can do all things through him. And so today, I wanted to just take tell you three basic stories, three quick stories, and see that there's a couple of ways that when we have to fight or battle and struggle in our life, there's a couple of different ways that we can have an outcome of that. And I was reminded this last week, you know, earlier I mentioned about small groups, and I just want to encourage you, again, to try to find a small group that you could become a part of. And here recently, Andrew Bradenball has started a men's group. We meet on Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. So guys, if you are not a part of a small group, you want to come out, 7 o'clock. I know it's a little early on Saturday mornings, but it's great. And we're talking about being wild at heart and men's desire to go and fight battles and save the beauty. And I was reminded this week that, you know, we as men sometimes, we have responsibilities and we have things that we have to do, and sometimes it's hard. So the first story I wanted to share with you today is to share the story of Adam and Eve. Now, most of us know this story, the story of Adam and Eve. God comes down, God makes Adam, God makes Eve. He places them in the garden, and he tells, you can have from any tree, any tree. Now, we're here at Scales Lake, and if you guys look out here to outside, you'll see all these different trees. Now, imagine God's got an entire garden of trees. And he's like, you can go and hang out and play in and eat from anything, but there's this one tree I want you to stay away from. He tells Adam that. He tells Eve that. And here's the battle that happens. Here's the battle that happens. Satan comes in the form of a serpent. And he comes down and he takes God's words and he twists them. And he says to Eve, he says, did God say that you really would die? Surely you won't die. And Eve's like, oh yeah. He said that if we even look at this tree, we'll die. I mean, we're not even supposed to touch it. We're not supposed to look at it. And he's like, no. And here's the battle that took place. Her warrior, her protector, Adam, is right there, and he's silent. So when we face a battle, this doesn't matter if we're men or women, when we face a battle as Christians, the first thing that could happen is that we may forsake and fail. Forsake our duty and fail our loved ones, fail God, fail ourselves. Because God placed Adam in charge. He said, you're in charge of this entire garden. And you're supposed to protect everything in it. And then he places Eve in the garden with him. That means that she's under his protection. When he was supposed to be protecting her, he forsake his duty and he failed. Not about you, but sometimes in my life, I know that I have failed. Now, I know the Bible tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we have all failed. But, I mean, there are times when you know you failed. You said a word or you've said some things that you're like, man, I should not have said that. I should not have done that. You go a certain place, you do a certain thing. You're like, I knew I shouldn't have gone there. I know I shouldn't have done that. Now, as a kid, we were told by our parents all the time, right? Don't go here, don't go there, don't hang out with these kind of people. And when those kind of people came along and they invite you to go there and go do the things that you weren't supposed to do, what do? We say, no, my mommy says not to do that. Now, some of us were blessed enough that we did that at times. So I did use my mom. I sometimes, even as an adult, use my wife sometimes as my excuse. Well, I don't think my wife will let me do that. But in reality is that we should have the the fortitude to stand on what we have been told. And we have God's word, and we have been shared the commandments. This last week, I got invited to go for a National Day of Prayer to be one of the pastors who prayed at the National Day of Prayer. And they asked me to do the prayer of repentance. And as I thought about that and prayed about what prayer should I say and what should I look at, I really feel like God laid on my heart. I literally just kind of went down the Ten Commandments. Just confess, God, you tell us to love you and honor you, but we don't do it. You tell us to honor your parents, but we don't do that. You tell us not to steal, but we steal from you. We steal your time. We steal your resources. You tell us not to covet, but we break our backs working multiple jobs and sacrificing time with our families and our loved ones so that we can pursue a bigger house, a faster car, the new glitziest thing. We have to confess. We do these little things. We may not murder, but we definitely hold hate, don't we, in our hearts. We may not steal in the sense that we take things, but I know that we take from God. Time when we should be spending with Him, time that we should be preparing our hearts. Instead, we sacrifice it to TV, to our hobbies. So all of us can probably think back of a time when we have forsaken God's commands and we have failed. Next story I want to tell you is a story that most of us know as well. It's the story of how Egypt let the Israelites go, and then they pursued them. If you remember the story, Israel had become a nation, and Egypt had enslaved them. And they begged, and they cried out to God. They said, please get us out of here. And so he sends Moses, and Moses goes in, and he negotiates with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh finally lets them go. And he takes all the people, and he takes riches, and they leave. And it's a great celebration. But shortly after that, Pharaoh has a change of heart. He's like, you know what? Who's going to pick up the trash around here? Right? Who's going to do the lawns? Who's going to do the stuff that none of us want to do? Oh, yeah, it was the Jews. And he's like, let's go get them back. And so he gets his army together. Now, this is an army. This is kind of the comparison between you got foot soldiers and you got guys on tanks, because they came riding in on chariots, and that's what they were like back those days. They were the tanks of the day. These people were scared. They, for the first time in over 400 years, were finally free, and they are running away from Egypt. This army is chasing them in chariots, the horse hooves just beating the ground, shaking the ground, the sound of the metal of the wheels rolling after them, knowing that this was death right on the tips of their heel. And to make things worse, what do? They come up to a sea. Now, it's too wide, you can't go around it. You can't turn back. And so they have a battle to face. And then God says this. God says, here's what you do. I want you to follow me. I want you to have faith, and I want you to follow me. And Moses has faith in God, and he raises his arm. He sticks out his stick, just as he's told, and the sea parts. And we know that story. We've probably seen it on the movies 100 times. And the waters parted, and the nation of Israel walks across. And it wasn't because of something, like there was some heroic thing. It wasn't something that Abraham did. Now, there were battles. When they get to Israel, when they get to the land of Canaan, and they have to take back the land that had been promised to Abraham centuries ago, there were already people there. And Jacob and Caleb and others had to fight battles. But in this day, God said this, I want you to have faith, and I want you to follow me. And they did. And they were victorious. And sometimes in our life, we're going to come against things that there is no way we can't go around it. We can't go back. And God says, have faith and follow me. Sometimes he parts the sea for us. Sometimes he lets us walk across the water. Sometimes he's like, you better learn to swim. But if you have faith and follow me, you will overcome. Paul writes that, and he says to the Romans, he says, we are more than conquerors. No weapon formed against us can defeat us. We are in Christ. We have already won. Just have the faith and follow him. But sometimes, Paul writes in Ephesians, for example, Ephesians chapter 6 is the spiritual warfare chapter. And in that, he talks about the fact that sometimes you have to take a stand. In fact, in verse 14 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, Paul says, when you are ready, take a stand. And when all else fails, keep standing. A soldier does no good laying on his back. Cowering in a ball on the ground does nothing. He says, stand. He says, stand. And I want to tell you the story of Gideon. Most of us may know that story, but if you don't know it, it's out of Judges chapter 6. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we have faith and we follow God and he makes a way. But sometimes he says this, I want you to face what's going on and fight it. I don't mean to call you out, Roger, but you immediately come to mind. Cancer came into your life. You had a choice. You stood. You said, I'm going to face you and I'm going to fight you. And we have victory. Amen? Amen. That's right. Here's what was going on in Gideon's life. The Israelites had rebelled against God, and so God allowed the Midianites to come in and punish them by taking over. And the Midianites, they were horrible people. The Bible describes them in Judges chapter 5 and 6 as locusts. And if you know anything about locusts, they're just numerous. You can't hardly count them. There's so many of them. And when they come into an area, they don't just like eat a little bit or just do a little bit of damage. They destroy crops and buildings and just entire ecosystems. And when the Israelites would build something, they would tear it down. When the Israelites would grow a crop, they would come and steal it. And so Gideon, he actually is grinding his grain in the wine press. Now, I'm no expert on grinding grain, but that's not where you do that. He was hiding. So it's not a man who's like brave and bold. This is a man who's practical. This is a man like you and I that maybe we're just trying to get by. If God sends an angel and he says to Gideon, you're the one. I'm going to use you to drive out the Midianites. So Gideon's like, all right. And he says, get together some of the men to go against them. And so he gathers all the men from all of Israel who is willing to fight. And they had a number of 22,000. Gideon's like, that's still not enough, but all right. And this is the part that gets me with God. He comes to Gideon. He says this. He says, I see you got an army. You got 22,000 people. Yep, that's right. That's all the men of Israel that's willing to fight. He's like, good, you got too many. He's like, I don't know if you noticed that the army of the Midianites are like the locusts, that I cannot count them. They are so many. And I've only got 22,000. I was not feeling too good, but now you're making me really nervous. And God's like, here's what you do. I want you to go take these 22,000, go down to the river, and have them drink. Okay. And he says, every time somebody takes a drink from the water with their hand and laps it like a dog, you keep him. All right. He takes 22,000 men down. They all go to the river. He says, everybody go to the edge of the river and take a drink. Out of 22,000 men, only 300 of them lap like a dog. Gideon's like, really? This is my army, 300. And guys, here's what we're going to do. And he gives them a plan. And these 300, each one of them take a trumpet. Each one of them take a light. Each one of them take a jar. And what they do is they go and they surround this camp of the Midianites. And in the middle of the night, God says, this is what you do. You blow your trumpet, which is going to cause confusion. And then I want you to wave your light because it's going to look like there's a whole lot more people. And then I want you to smash these jars so it sounds like the army coming. So Gideon does that. And the Midianites are so afraid that they draw their swords and they slaughter as many Jews as they possibly can, not realizing that what they actually are doing are slaughtering themselves. And Gideon wins the day. Why? Because God sometimes says there are things we have to stand and fight for. There are sometimes we have to flee and have faith and follow him. There are other days where he says, fight. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to a passage, a verse that I have learned to love over the last few years. Many times you may have heard me reference this, Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17. I don't know why there are certain passages, and I'm hoping that you have found some yourself that just really, it speaks to me. And this is one of these verses that just really speak to me. Because there's times where I have failed, where I have forsaken the commands of God, and I have failed him. There's times where I've been faithful and followed him. There are times when I have had the courage to stand and fight. But one of the things that I have come to realize is that it's not me. It's him. And this verse just sums it all up in my mind, in my heart. It says this, Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, and in his love he will no longer rebuke you." And I love this last part. "But with rejoicing over you with singing." You know, before the Israelites would go into battle, you know who they would send out at first? The choir. Charlie, just giving you a heads up. They would send out the priestly choir, and they would sing of God's greatness in the past. They would sing about his glory. They would sing, and they would tell the army that they were about to face, "You are not facing us. You are facing our God." Just the same way David did to Goliath. David didn't face the Goliath. Do you ever notice that? Go back and look at that story. David says this, "You have offended my God, and in his name I will kill you." It's not about David. Now, there are days when the Lord is going to part seas and let us walk across dry land. He is going to do amazing things, but there are going to be days he is going to empower us. Isaiah 40:31, many of us know that. Those who wait upon the Lord will mount upon wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow tired. It's another one of those verses that I think is written backwards, and I've preached on it before, and I'll continue to talk about it because it still amazes me. As we talk about walking with God, we talk about walking with Christ, it's not a stroll down the park. It is a journey of conquering one day at a time, one demon at a time, one trouble at a time, one sin at a time in our own life. Paul calls it this. He says, "Work out your salvation. What is in us, get it out. It's in you, but you have to get it out." And it doesn't get out sitting on the couch, spiritually speaking. It gets out when we walk with him, when we struggle with him, when we fight some battles with him, when we know that we're up against a wall and we can't do anything, and by faith we still follow him and he makes a way. When we have victory after victory after victory, you know what encouraged these men to do the things that they did? Because they could look back, and when they went into the battles, they would say, "God who brought out Israel from Egypt, the God who conquered this land and that land, who did this for me, who brought me sun and rain and crops, who brought me children, who brought me life, who brought me everything, the very breath of my life, he is with me." That's how we win. And we do that, and we trust him. He is quick to save, and he will not rebuke you for those times when you forsake and fail, but he will sing over you. Wouldn't we want to know what that song is that he sings over us? And I hope it's a good one. I hope it's one that says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I hope it's not one that says, "Where were you when I needed you?" You may have been in that point today, this week. You may have forsaken him. You may have failed. There may have been a huge failure in your life. Trust in him, the warrior who will save you. And then he will no longer rebuke you, but he will sing Hosanna's gladness over you and about you. Maybe you're facing some things. You're at the sea right now, and something is just bearing down on you. You know you can't go back. You don't see how you can possibly go in the next step. I just want to challenge you to have faith and follow him this week. And for some of us, there's something in our life that's right there, and it's not going away. And he's saying to us, "I want to drive that out of your life. I want to purify your life. I want to purify your land. But you are going to have to face it and fight it. I will be with you, and we will do it together. But you have to be a part of it." I don't know which one of those you're at right now. But regardless, he is the victory. Amen? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that as we walk with you and we battle through life together, that God, you and you alone bring victory. God, I just pray that you would just forgive us for those times when we forsake your commands and we fail you. God, give us faith where we have no faith to follow you, where it doesn't seem like we can go. And God, I pray for courage, for when you say it's time to stand and face that thing and fight. In all of this, we trust you, we love you, and we bring glory to your name. Amen.